Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
The Countdown to Green.
Hello everybody and welcome along to our Super Saturday presentation from the Michelin Endurance Challenge at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. I'm John Hindhoff. Joining me in this Michelin Countdown to Green will be our VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock reporter Shea Adams. She'll bring us up to date on everything that has happened and any fallout from anything that we missed overnight. Remember, the last time the cars were out on track were for the qualifying sessions, and so we need to catch up and make sure there's any gossip that we've missed overnight. Jeremy Shaw will join me here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre, and he'll be going down the grid for you, the grid as it was set and any changes that might be happening, and we've got wind of a couple as well, and we'll look at the Porsche keys to the race. The six-hour race, remember, this should have been the sailing 6 hours of the Glen. It's been moved to Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, and therefore we've kept the longer distance. And for the pilot challenge tomorrow, that's 4 hours as well. It's all live here on IMSA Radio. Before we get underway with my colleagues, let's give them a little break on a very busy day today and catch up with what's been happening at Michelin. Earlier on this week, I talked to the technical director of Motorsports North America, Ken Payne, who's just a great guy, one of our favourite people in the paddock, about what's been going on in this difficult season. And first, asked him about that change of venue from Watkins Glen International to here at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, and whether that had caused him and his team any problems.
John, it's a delight to talk with you. And this virus era has thrown us all sorts of curveballs, including changes of venues. In this case, Road Atlanta, we know quite well. We run Petit Le Mans there in the fall every year. So compared to perhaps, say, a case of going to a completely new circuit, not so much of a challenge for us. The specifications of tires, given the time of year that we're running at Road Atlanta for this event, basically are what we had planned to use at Watkins Glen. So not a big curveball there. It's conveniently located not far from us in down the road from Greenville, South Carolina. So all things considered, a pretty easy change for that particular event.
How would you assess the take-up and the challenge that you've had to face in the last, season and a half, just over that now, in taking on the whole paddock? There was an awful lot that had to be put together when every single one of the IMSA series came under your umbrella and all the different categories there. Are you happy at how Michelin have faced up to that and moved forward?
Absolutely. It has, I would say, not been completely trouble-free, but all things considered, it has gone remarkably smoothly. Year one went well. We seem to have a pretty satisfied bunch of racers, and the results on the track, I think, speak for themselves nicely in terms of tire performance. We did a lot of preparation work once we learned we had the business. So starting in early 2018, we were hard at it to figure out what we were swallowing, and came in reasonably well prepared. We never in our wildest imagination would have thought of the changes that have fallen out of the sky post 24 hours this year. We thought we'd have a nice, simple year two learning from our year one endeavors. And they threw a few giant curve balls at us, thanks to the COVID mess. But we, and I would say all the competitors and IMSA have worked well together, figuring out how to navigate this era. And we've had some really terrific races since we've resumed racing.
Changing, you know, Daytona to a sprint race, and then we had Sebring for a shorter race as well. We're going to have Sebring 12 hours in a completely different time of the year. And to be fair, Ken, you guys did such a great job last year that, I mean, you set so many track records, so many lap records, so many qualifying records. I mean, in some ways, as we would say in the UK, you made a rod for your own back there, because you did that so well in year one. Year two could easily be the difficult second album.
Oh, there's no question about that. And in terms of things like track records and such, never in my wildest imagination would I have expected the results we had in 2019. Credit to the global Michelin entity for our products, and credit to the teams as well for doing a wonderful job adapting rather quickly to the tires that we had to offer them and making them work to their full advantage.
You make a good point there, the global Michelin entity, as you described it. But as we well know from years past, what you face here as a tyre supplier in the US, and particularly on US circuits, is distinctively different from what, say, your GT Le Mans competitors would face in the WEC on all Formula One circuits, some of the other applications that you might use your tyres for in other parts of the world. So how much have you had to focus directly on the North American situation?
Quite a bit, and on the flip side, remarkably not a lot. I know that's sort of a contradiction in terms. But we, as we were preparing in 2018 for 2019, we quickly realized, for instance, in the Daytona Prototype International category, our plan had been to just utilize the medium and hard specs of what is our standard LMP2 tire. But when we started pounding around circuits like Watkins Glen or Mosport, we quickly learned that we might need to make a few tweaks. And I credit the development team in France for quickly responding to that and coming up with some IMSA-specific medium and hards that are derived from our global LMP2 tire. But they don't deviate so far from the standard LMP2 product range that it made it a challenge for the teams to adapt to that tire. If they had past experience. So that worked well. We've been running in GTLM the same range as they have for WEC for some time, with a tire that's really sort of a hot or hard spec, one level beyond what they've had in WEC to deal with the extremes like Watkins Glen in the summer. So from that category, we were well covered already. In the challenge classes, GTD and then Michelin Pilot Challenge and IMSA Prototype Challenge, there we utilized our standard commercial range, which is developed from the get-go to be pretty versatile and is used all around the world in all sorts of levels of motorsport. So those products fundamentally are pretty robust, but we learned very quickly going into 2019 that we really didn't have the correct dimension, for instance, for the back of the Audis running in the IMSA Pilot Challenge Series. Right. And our team in France that does the commercial product range in a very short period of time turned around and produced a new dimension for us in both the medium and hard specs to handle that.
It's always learning, isn't it? There's every day is a school day. You mentioned GT Le Mans there and the WEC. What you don't have in the WEC, of course, is the new Corvette. So you had no data for that when the mid-engined Corvette came out to play at the start of the year. It doesn't seem to have slowed them down, Ken, to be honest. They've been tremendously successful.
But we are a Corvette partner both in the original equipment domain and in the long time in the GTLM range. So we had been working with the Corvette team developing their road car, but in parallel, there was a program developing the product range for their race car. So we worked with the Pratt & Miller folks in Corvette Racing to develop a new range of WEC/IMSA GTE GTLM tires that are specific to the Corvette platform, just as we had in the past with the front engine Corvette, or have as we do with the Porsche and the BMW GTLM team. So Corvette got to cook up some tires with us for that program, and they're working pretty well, I'd say.
Yes, I know. And I know you can't show any favoritism, of course not. And that's what makes Michelin, of course. How proud are you of your team within the global Michelin entity? Yes, and you've now got me onto that now. I'm going to be talking about that all the time. How proud of you are you of your team, given the circumstances, I know it's an overused phrase, but the unprecedented circumstances that we've been in this year? Because it's been difficult for every race series, every race team, and it must have been difficult for you guys as well.
Oh, it has been an enormous challenge, and I can't give my team enough credit. We've got an exceptional group of guys and gals working in our motorsports team in North America, and the depth of experience, particularly for the crew that supports the events on site, really has proved beneficial. As we've gone to in the early races, we were a crew of five or six, down from typically on the order of 20 at an event. So the level of activity we have amongst my smaller staff on site has kept us extremely busy, and we've had to, on the fly, come up with new modes of operation, how we are going to get information from teams when we can't go in the garage, we can't go in their transporter, we can't do what we would normally do, highly integrated in their pit box, those sorts of things. So we've had to adapt, and we continue to adapt on the fly as we learn something at every event. Daytona in the summer was another new one for us. We had not raced at Daytona in the summer in a very, very long time. So that was working with the teams to gather data, our technical team in France to do analysis and simulation to come up with what are the right cambers and pressures that we need to recommend for these teams to run Daytona in the summer. Mm. We had to switch specs of tires from the medium and cool weather tires normally used for the 24 to the hot weather tires. But it proved to be a great race. Sebring a couple weeks later, same thing. We haven't raced at Sebring in those sorts of weather conditions in a long time. So globally, we were working on it. Charlotte, as reported, is likely to happen. That'll be a place where we're likely to have an interesting time. We haven't raced on that oval since they configured it the way it is now.
Correct.
We're working in partnership with IMSA and the teams to actually organize a test day there later this month. So everybody has an opportunity to experience our tires and figure that place out, given the limited amount of track time that the event will likely have. We felt like it would be really worthwhile for our teams that we partner with, IMSA and ourselves, to spend a day there and get to know the place. So Michelin is organizing that and offering that to one team per manufacturer for the GTLM and the GTD crowd.
I love the fact that you guys are always, as I said, every day is a school day. You're always learning. You never think that you know it all. And actually, at the end of the day, we all get the benefit as street Michelin tyre users. And all my Porsches are on Michelin N-rated tyres, special Porsche tyres from the Michelin for the 993 and the 968. Ken, thanks very much for all your hard work. Thank the ladies and gentlemen in your team for us. Race well. Have a good weekend, won't you?
You're quite welcome. Thank you for having me on. Enjoy.
That is the brilliant, absolutely brilliant, a technical director for Motorsport North America. I give you Mr. Kenneth Payne from Michelin. On the Michelin countdown to green, such openness as well. And he's given us some information about the Michelin Pilot Challenge, which we'll give you tomorrow as we get ready for that race as well. They've been working really, really hard in this lockdown period. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuels Pit and Paddock reporters. Jeremy Shaw is in a quiet area, gargling at the moment, ready for the grid read. But Shea, you have got some stories that will affect where people are on the grid. Welcome to the Michelin Countdown to Green.
Thank you, John. Yes, first off, we did not see the Magnus Racing, the GRT Lamborghini, out yesterday in qualifying. They elected to save the set of tires, so effectively they are included in what I'm about to tell you as far as cars that will be starting on brand new Michelins. The 23 Heart of Racing, the Aston Martin, has elected to go to a new set of tires, meaning that they move to the back of their class. But since they are the only GTD car that has elected to do that, that means that they will be starting just behind the Magnus Lamborghini. We have three cars from the GTLM ranks. That's half the field. The 912 Porsche for Earl Bamber and Lawrence Vantour, and both of the BMWs, the 25 ahead of the 24, they have all gone to new Michelins for the start of the race today. Also of note, the 18 era motorsport car, they had some issues in qualifying yesterday. Dwight Merriman will also be getting new tires and starting at the back of the LMP2 class. Back of the class, there's two cars, doesn't really affect his starting position, so it's a freebie. And finally, the 77 Mazda Motorsports, Tristan Nunez, Olivier Pla, and Oliver Jarvis, they got a new engine after qualifying last night. They did go out on the effectively recon lap this morning, coming around to the grid. Tested it out. It seems good. We'll see how it goes in the race.
Wow. Without a warm-up they did that. That is very brave indeed. More from Shea Adam in a moment. We'll have the Porsche keys to the race as well. But with those grid changes in mind, here is Jeremy with the runners and riders.
For today's TireRack.com Grand Prix at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. We've got four categories of cars. This is a full field for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, but also round two of the Michelin Endurance Cup. We've got eight DPI cars, two LMP2s, six GTLMs, and a dozen GTD cars. Let's start at the back of the field in the 23rd position. As Shea Adam was just telling us, a change of tyres for the Heart of Racing team, Aston Martin Vantage GT3. There's car number three, started by Ian James. He qualified last in the field in any case, so only one position change because John Potter did not go out for qualifying in number 44 GRT Magnus Lamborghini Huracan GT3. He will start then from the 27th position. Row 13 of the grid is Gar Robinson, the podium finisher last time out in number 74 Riley Motorsports Mercedes AMG GT3. Alongside him and off in qualifying for Michael De Quesada, who will start in number 14 AIM Vassar Sullivan Lexus RCF GT3. Row 12 of the grid, Jeff Westfall in number 63 Scuderia Corsa Ferrari 488 GT3, alongside the winner last time out and the winner here 1 year ago, the number 96 Turner Motorsport BMW M6 GT3. Starting driver is Robbie Foley. Row 11 of the grid, Misha Goikberg in car 57. The Heinricher Racing with MSR Kerbag Ajanian Acura NSX GT3, alongside Steen Schothorst from Holland, making his debut at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta this weekend, and a return for the GRT Grasse Racing Team Lamborghini Huracan GT3, that is car number 11. On the 10th row of the grid is Shinya Machimi in number 86 Meyer Shank Racing with Kerb Agajanian Acura NSX GT3, alongside Jan Halen in number 16 Wright Motorsports Porsche 911 GT3R. Onto the front row of the grid in GTD. In the second position, ninth row of the grid, 18th position on the grid overall. Madison Snow will start number 48. Paul Miller racing Lamborghini Huracan GT3. That is the car that leads the Michelin Endurance Cup, having won the GTD category at Daytona. But on the pole position today, for the second time this season, in the number 12 AIM Vassar Sullivan Lexus RCF GT3 is Frankie Montecalvo. On to GTLM. Man, this was close in qualifying yesterday. Jesse Krohn will start in the sixth position in the class in car number 24, the BMW Team RLL BMW M8 GTE. And he was a massive 0.15 of a second off the pole position in the class. Just incredibly close. Alongside him is his teammate, Conor DeFilippi, in car number 25. Fourth position in GTLM qualifying is Laurence Vanthoor, number 912, Porsche GT team, Porsche 911 RSR 19. Ahead of him on the grid, the two Corvettes, Tommy Milner in car number 4 for Corvette Racing, the Chevrolet Corvette C8R, and his teammate, car number 3, will be started by the championship leader in GTLM, Antonio Garcia. But on the pole position, 11th on the grid overall, the ninth pole of his career for the Porsche GT team, the second of the Porsche 911 RSR 19s, in number 911 is Nick Tandy. The two LMP2 cars, Dwight Merriman will start the number 18 Era Motorsport Orica LMP2 07, and on the pole position, the third time in his career in this championship, he's qualified on the pole every time he has qualified, is car number 52 for PR1 Matheson Motorsports. And his birthday he had yesterday is Patrick Kelly in car number 52. Moving on to DPI, eighth on the grid, number 77, Tristan Nunez, the Mazda Motorsports, Mazda DPI, as Shay Adam told us a little while ago, an engine change after qualifying. Alongside him from Brazil, Matheus Leist in car number 85, the JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac DPI. Two more Cadillacs on the third row of the grid. Number 10 car, the Konica Minolta Cadillac DPI VR, is Renger van der Zende. Alongside him, the Frenchman Sebastian Bourdais in car number 5 for Mustang Sampling Racing with JDC Miller Motorsports. Second row of the grid on the outside, the second of the Mazdas. The car number 55 is Harry Ticknell. Alongside him, Dane Cameron in car number 6, one of the two Acura Team Penske Acura DPI.
Ah, and at the vital moment, we just lose Jeremy as we're getting towards the front of the field. But Shea Adam will take over and finish the grid read for us with that.
Well, thankfully, Jeremy only had one more name to say, and that's Elio Castroneves, our pole sitter here for the 6 hours at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta in the number 7 car, getting another pole position, and Elio was fired up. That makes 5 for him. Let's see if he can get a win here today.
Well done. Thank you, Jeremy and Shay. Michelin countdown to green. We're 5 minutes away from going live in sound and vision. Let's see if we've got Mr. Shaw back. Are you back with us, Jeremy?
Yes, I am.
Ah, sorry. Just lost you as you got literally to the pole sitter. The internet is a strange thing. Let's do our Porsche keys to the race. The obvious one here, Jeremy, is it's 6 hours. But it's 6 hours that has, unusually, in the longer race here at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, has no darkness, and it's quite warm today. That's going to be a bit of a different character to the race at Road Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we come back here generally in October, and we'll be doing again in 1 month's time, weather conditions could be just about anything. It could be hot, could be cold, could be wet, could be dry, could be, you know, you've got to be open to just about everything. But yes, it is pretty warm this weekend and a bit more humid, I believe, than it was yesterday as well. So it's certainly going to be a challenge for the teams and drivers. Tire degradation, and that's certainly going to be a factor. That's why we're seeing so many cars changing tires after qualifying. Mm. You're supposed to start the race on the same set of tires in which you qualified. If you do make that change, then you have to start at the back in your class. And having fresh tyres, I think, is going to be a factor during this race.
I'll throw this one to you, Shea, because I know you've been talking to a number of people about this. We've got four different categories, therefore four different races on track at the same time in this 6-hour contest. but we've actually got two different championships that are being raced for as well, because this is another round of the Michelin Endurance Cup, and there are points awarded at various stages through the 6 hours, which might make some, what looks to from the outside, some odd strategy calls.
Correct. We've got the 3 hour mark is the first big thing that we need to pay attention to. And I did talk to several of the teams that are leading the championships in terms of manufacturers. That would include Lamborghini for GTD, BMW for GTLM, and then, of course, Cadillac with the manufacturer's lead after the win at Daytona. They are planning to do some weird strategy. And some of the cars, even if they're out front, will be pitted early because of those points. They're back timing to the 3 hour mark. And then after that, they'll go for the race win. But they want the points first.
So it literally for them is a race of two halves. That means pit stops, as ever, Jeremy, going to be very important indeed, because track position here is important. It is possible to pass, but there are places where you have to be patient at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta.
Yeah, very true. For the DPI cars getting past slower traffic, they can do that in most parts of the racetrack, but not between turns three and turn five. The downhill S is really, really tricky. That is, unless you're getting really, really desperate, which generally ends up in an accident, that's somewhere you just got to follow a slower car and be patient. For the other contenders, turn 10 certainly is the best overtaking opportunity. So if you've got your car trimmed out and it's running fast on the straightaways, that's going to give you an advantage heading into that heavy braking area at turn 10.
We always say this, but you know, if you haven't got the patience and you start getting frustrated, there might be a bit of contact. Fortunately, we've seen a lot of respect this season so far, but you can't afford mistakes and you can't afford penalties. Relatively in time terms, Jeremy, the 2.5 miles makes for a very short lap. So if you've got to do a drive-through or particularly a stop and hold, that's going to cost you very dearly here.
Well, it really is. That's right. Yeah, with the lap times, the race lap record was a 108.8 set last year by Felipe Nasr. The pole time yesterday, 108.6. So we're going to see some fast lap times here. The average speed around here is well over 130 miles an hour. So It is a fast racetrack, and the laps do go past pretty quickly. You're absolutely right.
So that's our Porsche keys to the race. We'll keep referring back to them as we go through. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us, share from you and our VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock update. Who was playing it too cool for school today and wandered in late because there was no warm-up? Who was desperate to get to the track and wanted to go racing?
Well, I will say this, at 7 a.m., the tents were already open or opening for the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini, the Heart of Racing Aston Martin, they were already hard at work, and the Magnus Racing Lamborghini in terms of GTD. BMW, both cars and both sides of the garage were up and running at 7 a.m. Everyone else in the paddock was still snoozing. So those cars might just have a little bit more to prove today than everyone else.
Oh, take a deep breath. Shea Adam will make sure that we find out everything we need to know as our VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock reporter. In advance, thank you to all of the team media personnel and PRs and the drivers. Also joining me, John Hindorf, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre is Jeremy Shaw. We're ready. Hope you are too. It's time for us now to bring the endurance racing community together as we go live in sound and vision, IMSA Radio and IMSA TV together for a 6 hour race at Road Atlanta.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.